Hello and welcome to the ISIS Americas podcast for Thursday, 2nd of November, 2017. I'm your host, David Hayden, and today I'm joined by Deputy Managing Editor Zachary Moore.
Hello.
Deputy News Editor Al Greenwood.
Hi.
And Markets Editor Amanda Hay.
Hi.
Today's podcast, we will be discussing the ongoing situation with Mossi and Gazzolfi, which filed for bankruptcy protection in October. Al, what is happening with the bankruptcy?
Well, they filed at the end of October. Initially, it was one subsidiary of Mossi and Gazzolfi, the one based in West Virginia, and then 11 other subsidiaries filed for bankruptcy protection. So that's where we are in the process. These 12 subsidiaries, all these were filed in U.S. Bankruptcy Court, Delaware District. And right now, what I'm waiting for is M&G to file a sales process. They talked about selling their Corpus Christi plant that they're building.
The court documents indicated that all of M&G's liquidity crisis stems from Corpus Christi and the huge cost overruns in building that plant. Initially, they wanted to be up in December 2015. They had planned to build the plant for $1.1 billion, and instead, they estimate that it will ultimately cost $2.4 billion, mostly because of cost overruns on labor, which were about twice what they had anticipated.
I'll build on what Amanda was saying. The cost overruns was also accompanied by delays. This plant was supposed to have started up a while ago, and M&G intended to use the sales proceeds from material sold at this Corpus Christi plant to service some of its debt. So if the plant's not running, they're not getting that revenue to service debts. Another problem with M&G, they built this plant. There's a lot of companies building plants in the United States. Some of them have had cost overruns. Some of them have had delays, but they're not filing for bankruptcy protection. We touched on this at ISIS. What set M&G apart from these other companies, it filed for bankruptcy protection, but it's also building a polyethylene terephthalate plant in Corpus Christi, PET. PET has been in an oversupplied market. We have several trends working against the demand growth for PET. Companies are reducing the thickness of beverage bottles, so they're consuming less PET. There's been a rise in PET recycling, and also a lot of countries have imposed taxes on sugary beverages. You put sugary beverages in PET bottles, so people are buying fewer beverages. There's not as much demand for those plastic bottles. So yes, the primary reason for the bankruptcy for M&G, as it said in its documents, were these cost overruns for the new Corpus Christi plant. But given the status of the PET market, they didn't have as much margin for things to go wrong as some of the other companies that have had cost overruns and delays at their plants.
Speaking of other countries, this is also having an effect in Mexico and further South America, correct?
Yes. The liquidity crisis forced M&G to shut down its PET plant in Altamira, Mexico in early September because of a lack of raw material, and their PTA supplier Alpek stopped providing them feedstock because of past due payments. Last we've heard was that Alpek was working with M&G to restart that plant in Altamira. After M&G shut down the plant in Altamira, it then shut down its plant in Apple Grove, West Virginia in late October because of a lack of feedstock there as well.
This situation will no doubt be mentioned at the upcoming Plastimahan trade show, which begins in Mexico City next week on the 7th of November. I'll be attending. Zach, you'll be attending. Aside from the ongoing bankruptcy with M&G, do you expect any other discussions to be made over there?
Well, there'll be plenty of discussions going on at Plastimahan. Obviously, the M&G situation will be a big one for PET. We'll also be looking into what's going to happen with polyethylene markets. The U.S. is building a lot of new polyethylene plants. And one of the reasons why there's all these cost overruns in the Gulf, there's a lot of plants being built there. And most of that is going to have to be exported. So no doubt there's going to be a lot of talk about where all of that PE is going to go. The U.S. traditionally has shipped a lot of its exports to Latin America, but it's generally felt in most of the industry that Latin America is not going to be able to purchase all the new volumes that the U.S. is bringing online, so they may have to look elsewhere. There's also Braskem Idesa's plant there in Mexico, in Mexico, that's recently started up, that's serving a lot of the domestic needs of the Mexican market. So that's another export market that the U.S. isn't quite as big in as it used to be, because now Mexico has more domestic production.
Thanks for the update, everyone, and thank you to everyone for listening. If you're interested in more information on conference coverage or any of the markets we cover, be sure to visit ICIS.com, and be sure to tune in for our next podcast.